Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We have faith in CRA, which is an independent agency, to collect the money that is owed. I don't know about you, but having an argument with CRA about not wanting to pay your taxes is not a position I want anyone to be in. Good luck with that, Premier Mo.
I'll just say this before we talk to the Premier, and that is the Prime Minister should have learned in 9 years, or maybe a daddy's knee, that you really shouldn't use a federal agency to threaten someone, anyone. Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe joins us. Premier, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Roy. Hello to you and all your listeners on what is a beautiful day in the prairies.
Yeah, it's. I hear it's beautiful out there. You just told us, but I heard this morning when I was on the air with our Alberta stations. So here we have the Prime Minister of the country, and maybe I just misunderstood, but we have the Prime Minister of the country using the CRA, tell me if I'm wrong, as a threat lever against you. Is that how you interpreted it?
Well, it sounds like you think you might be experiencing this differently, Roy. But listen, we submitted our taxes in Saskatchewan. We had a unanimous vote in the legislature where we made a decision to mirror essentially a decision that the federal government did around their tax policy in Atlantic Canada. And so we've submitted all of our taxes. And so I think the CRA is going to find, just come to that conclusion that Saskatchewan has submitted all of the taxes that they're required to submit. That's our view. CRA may have a look into that, but if they don't find that, I guess there'll be a discussion to be had. And CRA, yes, is there to likely ensure that Canadians and businesses have paid all of their taxes. We'll see how they make out if they feel that they need to come after a province or a provincially owned crown corporation, I suppose. But, at the end of the day, what we've done in Saskatchewan is by unanimous consent and vote of the Legislative Assembly, all parties, independent members voted to mirror the federal government and to remove the carbon tax from the heating oils that we are using here. As opposed to just those that may be used predominantly in Atlantic Canada.
So you are not collecting, though, carbon tax on heating oil, correct?
Not on heating oil, not on natural gas, not on electricity. We would further, our original ask was for the federal government to extend that exemption to all types of heating oil, because there's still propane and some other heating sources that are out there that, unfortunately, they're still paying the carbon tax. And so this is a very unfair decision that the federal government made. It's a carve out, and they just simply are not being fair to all Canadian families. And so we stepped in, mirrored it, and to the degree that we are able, are being fair to at least Saskatchewan families.
Okay. I don't want you and I to leave this interview experiencing things differently. So, could I just go back?
Well, thankfully, the budget is going to balance itself soon. So,
oh my goodness,
we would experience that the same.
So many lines, Premier. Let me just be absolutely serious for a moment here. Did you hear in what the Prime Minister said? Did you hear him use the federal agency, Canada Revenue Agency, to threaten you?
Well, he thinks he's going to, or he thinks they're in some way threatening us. But as I said, it's our position that we've paid all of the tax that is owing, and so the threat is not a threat at all, because we are paid and we're paid in full here. That's Saskatchewan's position, and so we may have a difference of position. You know, our position is we've paid in full enough to, you know, the Prime Minister thinks he's going to start sending agencies after provinces that have had unanimous votes in their legislation to pass legislation. You know, provinces are not, you know, subservient governments to the federal government. We have areas of jurisdiction and we intend on using it. And so, you know, he may have his views. I believe he's wrong with those views. And he may think that he's going to use, you know, federal agencies at his discretion to, you know, frighten provinces or frighten, you know, entities into acquiescing to his views. And that's just simply not the case. Yeah.
He tried to use the courts to intimidate Admiral Norman, suggesting twice that Admiral Norman would probably see, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, see the inside of a prison sentence or prison cell. And then when the case appeared before the prosecutor, the case that wasn't a case, the prosecutor just ran for the towel to throw it in. And that was the end of that.
Well, right. That might be what we find here as well. As much as he may feel that the CRA would be able to come after, in his case, at his direction, the province of Saskatchewan, if you look into the budget, there's a deep down in the budget in an annex called Annex Number 3. The federal government is actually proposing that they are going to change their Greenhouse Gas Pollution Pricing Act. So that's the Carbon Tax Act, so that they have to change it and change it retroactively so that they can enforce what they think they want to enforce on provincial crown corporation. And so they're wrong in thinking that they can come after Saskatchewan for taxes that they feel Saskatchewan should be paying. And they know they're wrong because they're going to have to change their own legislation retroactively with the budget bill. So we'll be watching for that to come through as well. And that, again, I think speaks to just the disappointing situation that we are in nationally here.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned the Admiral Norman's situation and story only because the environment minister federally had suggested, if I remember correctly, it wasn't that long ago, that breaking federal law, which he anticipates you're doing, could result in prison time. I mean, you've got it coming at you from every direction now.
I noticed that way back when Catherine McKenna was actually the environment minister and some of her folks were putting together the original act. They had put much of it under the criminal code, essentially, which is disturbing in this nation as well. And so the CRA, I don't think they are going to be able to come after the province of Saskatchewan for mirroring the federal government's decision. By their own admission, the federal government has said as much by saying that the legislation that they currently have has to be changed retroactively in order for that to happen. And so we'll be watching that as the budget bills find their way through. There is another piece to the act that actually is under the criminal code as well, and that's the part that is going to have to be changed. You shouldn't be enforcing laws that you have to take to the Supreme Court of Canada with the Criminal Code of Canada. And much of the additional regulations that you see, clean electricity standards, those types of things, the coal-fired phase-out was similar. They're bringing it in with these Criminal Code of Canada penalties, and that's problematic in a nation like this.
Yeah. You know, Premier, I've always said that if people are angry at you, that's one thing. You can usually manage that. But if people are laughing at you, you've lost.
Yeah, many of the if you just back up and rise up a little bit to when when the carbon tax was introduced, it was the most efficient way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and it wouldn't require then any other regulations. They very quickly have layered on top of that electricity standards, fuel standards, methane regulations, oil and gas caps, fertilizer caps, electric car mandates on how many electric cars can be sold. Did they forget what they said when they introduced their very first flagship policy, the carbon tax? Is that they wouldn't need any of these other regulatory matters if they could only introduce a carbon tax and it would never go above $50? So that's where the people laughing at policymakers comes from, is when you say one thing and you just simply don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Dave in Calgary texts, I heard Mr. Trudeau mimicking an elementary school child, telling someone he'll have his big brother try and beat up Mr. Moe. That's from Dave in Calgary on our text line on 877-399-9898. Premier, moving along here, I saw that Mr. Singh, and I was interested in this, federal NDP leader Jagmeet Singh challenging Mr. Trudeau's, quote, divisive language toward you, divisive language, end quote, toward you in an interview. So Mr. Trudeau's running into at least some challenges from his ally, which is interesting.
Well, I think even Mr. Singh can read the polling and what Canadians are experiencing, which is tremendous inflationary pressure that is brought on by federal policy that Mr. Singh has supported each and every time he's been asked to on the floor of the federal parliament. I mean, he's backed Justin Trudeau on every single vote that of consequence, and pretty much, I think, is committed to for the next 12 to 18 months, which isn't in the best interest of Canadians. And so Mr. Singh is part of the problem. You know, he now that not liking the carbon tax is cool because we're seeing the consequences of that policy, he's now saying, well, you know, maybe we don't like it quite as much as we once did. Well, stand up and vote then against this government and force an election, and let's go to the polls and let's elect a government that Canadians want.
Yeah. Mr. Singh also said earlier this week that he doesn't want an election in 2024, and the polls are telling him why it's not a good idea, as they're telling Mr. Trudeau. Let's just talk about the other premiers for a moment, because Mr. Trudeau always...
Can I just yeah. On Mr. Singh not wanting an election?
Sure.
Canadians do. I mean, you should think about that, but that's all I would say is Canadians do. Canadians want a change in government that's going to address... you know, the affordability challenges that all Canadians are experiencing. They're unlike anything I've really seen in my lifetime. And so Mr. Singh should think about that, because he actually is one person that has the ability to allow Canadians an election in the next number of months, as opposed to waiting for 18 months and having our inflationary pressures increase even further. So Mr. Singh has a relevant role to play in this, and we'll see what he does.
Yes, he does. I'll use another word that people are very familiar with when it comes to this minority government and the leader. I don't think Mr. Trudeau has the ethical right to make decisions for Canadians based on where he is in the polling, and repeatedly, again and again and again, his polling numbers show, as you just said, Canadians want an election, and he should really test the waters and see whether or not Canadians will re-elect him. It's fine to run around the country making challenges and accusations, but have the courage to stand up before the electorate.
I also think when you have a minority administration, that it's customary for 4 years of government. You know, we'll be heading to the polls after 4 years this fall. It is really the norm. However, there are allowances to go longer than that. And there's a place for minority governments. I don't know that there is an explanation for a minority government to be going past the 4 year norm that Canadians expect to govern, even a majority government to govern for. And so Mr. Singh, I think, will very much we'll see how he experiences not making the decision to stand up for what Canadians want right now when he finally does pull the trigger and allow Canadians to go to the polls. I would suggest it would be more beneficial for him to do that sooner rather than later, but we'll see where he lands.
Yeah. What about the other premier?
They're working hard at it. Justin Singh and the federal NDP and, Jagmeet Singh, Justin Trudeau, I mixed that up, pardon me. But then they brought in a number of provincial NDP leaders as well to, I think it was the Canadian Labour Congress, brought them all together for a campaign school to re-elect Jagmeet Justin. And so they're working hard on it. And you know, I think planning to stretch this out as long as they can, which is not in the best interest of Canadians, and then work together and to try to reelect Jagmeet and Justin. So very unfortunate.
Yeah, Mr. Ray tried that in Ontario. He stuck around. He had a majority, but he stuck around for 5 years, and he certainly paid a very steep price, his party did, or his erstwhile party did. Let me just ask you about the other premiers.
Yes, let's talk about the
other premiers. Let's talk about the other premiers. They're still demanding a meeting with Mr. Trudeau over the carbon tax, and he's not talking about that. Is there a firm commitment by premiers to continue to push Ottawa on the carbon tax issue, Premier Mo?
I think there's a firm push, not only by premiers, but by premiers that are representing Canadians because of what it's doing. The discussion around the carbon tax not pushing up inflation at the fuel pumps at the grocery stores is simply not true. When we made the decision in Saskatchewan to remove the carbon tax from natural gas and electric heating, that's not everyone's heating, and it's just heating. It's not at the gas pumps. It doesn't impact our grocery store prices to a large degree. We're sitting today at half the national CPI rate. I think we're 1.5. The national rate is somewhere around 2.9 or 3. That has been attributed almost entirely to the fact that the provincial government will not collect the carbon tax on how we heat our homes in this province. Can you imagine if the consumer carbon tax was removed from fuel, from all of the costs that our grocery stores, grocery providers are experiencing? The CPI would likely be well in that manageable rate. We wouldn't have the runaway inflation that we have been experiencing. And so policies do matter. Just because you say something about those policies, like a statement like they aren't causing inflation, it doesn't make it true. The fact of the matter is that the consumer carbon tax is greatly pushing up the inflation rates that Canadians are experiencing. That's proven here in Saskatchewan with the decisions we've made, as are the other policies that the government is bringing forward. And premiers are in agreement on much of that.
Premier, I've enjoyed the experience today. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Good talking.
Take care, and just really wishing all your listeners a very good weekend.
Thank you. You as well.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.